You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are back on Get Up. And Jeff Saturday, we know Kyler Murray can play baseball. We know he can play football. Now we know he can play hoops as well. Give me your evaluation of Kyler Murray on the basketball floor.
Ooh, look at how clean that is. Greeny, I wish I had a shot that looked like that even without people around me. I mean, he looks like he could do that with folks around him. That thing is nasty and calm. Just an incredible athlete all the way around. The antithesis of you and me, Greeny, that's what that is.
Well, no, because you've got six fouls to give when you go out there and play in a basketball game. And I've got a microphone and a 30-second report to file after the game is over. So we definitely have taken our places when it comes to all of that. And with that, we welcome you back to Get Up, another big hour coming your way live, as always, from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We are jam-packed, and here we go. It is time to get up with another field day. 2 weeks from the draft, and wait until you hear what Shefty says about this young superstar at the top. Plus, the Packers signal to at least one agent that the future is completely uncertain when it comes to their legendary QB. What does it mean? We've got the answer. And then, how about them Cowboys? Are they set to make the splashiest move of the entire NFL draft? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you starting right now with the fourth pick in the draft. The Atlanta Falcons are taking phone calls. They are open for business at number four. Todd McShay currently forecasts they will take tight end Kyle Pitts. Trey Lance, meanwhile, the quarterback from North Dakota State, is scheduled a second pro day. That'll be held on April 19th. He held his first back in March in front of 30 NFL teams. And Justin Fields, as you know, is going to hold another pro day this week to give teams an opportunity to come see him in person. So where do we stand with the Niners and the number three pick? Here's the latest from our Adam Schefter.
I think they have an open mind right now. I think that they go into this looking at the three quarterbacks that'll be there. They're obviously going to go watch Justin Fields work out again. I think they have a high opinion of Trey Lance, and I think they have a high opinion of Mac Jones. So I think they like all three. Now, if you're asking me today who I would guess Mac Jones today. But we're also 3 weeks away from the draft.
So that was Shefty. Here's the crew we have in part this morning. We got Jeff, we got Marcus, we got Matt Miller. Matt, the value. Tell us, start with that. If you're trading as much as they did to move up to take the third pick in this draft, what does the value on the board say the 49ers should be doing?
The value says they should be drafting Justin Fields, who I have as the number two back in the top. Even
yes.
If you want to split hairs and say Zach Wilson is the number two or Trey Lance is the number three, I don't know any evaluator who has Mac Jones as the number three quarterback in this class. What in the media, in the NFL, I don't know any evaluator who has him graded that highly. So I think that's where you look at this and say, that's why it's hard. And that's why we've talked about it for a week, Greeny, is what should the Niners do? What will they do? What should they do is draft Justin Fields or even Trey Lance. What they will do, I think like Shefty said, it sounds like for the draft right now, it would be Mac Jones. And I'll say this, like I said earlier in the show, if you traded two first-round picks to move up to number three, you better know who you like. Because otherwise, you traded up hoping that you like one of the quarterbacks who's available there. You have to know to pull the trigger on that trade.
Or you're comfortable, I guess, with more than one that could wind up being there, depending on the circumstances. And we just got Diana back, a little brief technical difficulty. So, Diana, pick up the thread from there, if you would. What are you hearing is the latest out of San Francisco and the third pick in this draft?
Yes, certainly where there is smoke, there is fire here. And it seems that the 49ers really like this quarterback. Yes, they're doing their homework. And it does seem ridiculous to think here we are 2.5 weeks out and they're still attending pro days and putting out the message that they're interested in all these different quarterbacks and perhaps like all the different traits. But in-house, the San Francisco 49ers know who they're targeting. They know the quarterback they want. And at this point, it seems like this is Mac Jones. I don't know this for a fact. This just seems like this is the direction that they're going in. And a lot of this makes sense in terms of what Kyle Shanahan likes to do with the play action in his offense. It's how they move. And Kyle has done such an exceptional job with so many different kind of quarterbacks. And yes, we know that Mac Jones is not the most athletic. We know that he's not one of those guys that can really move outside the pocket well. But he's the type of quarterback that fits into the type of quarterback that Kyle Shanahan can have success with.
Look, we all understand. I can hear people screaming at the television. Drew Brees didn't go in the first round. Tom Brady didn't go in the first round. If you had taken them with the third pick in the draft, obviously it would have worked out. But that's not the way the draft works. You work around the value in the moment here. If you had taken them at that time, it would have been a mistake because there were so many other directions you could go and you could obviously get them later. And so, Jeff, we were talking before the show today about the value of these pro days. So if you're Justin Fields, you're having this pro day. As Diana just said, you have to assume the 49ers have a pretty good idea. Every team has a pretty good idea of what they want to do. What is the value of having these second looks for Fields and for Lance?
Yeah, this is the dress rehearsal for Justin Fields. Like, you know, when you get Shanahan together with John Lynch there, I mean, I know they had three guys. I think Peters was at Justin Fields' original pro day. This is being his second one. But this is the dress rehearsal. You want them to see you. And listen, this is a 6'3", 230-pound man running a 4'4", and can throw it around as well as anybody in college football right now. This is an impressive specimen. And I think until you lay eyes on him, until you see what he looks like in person, I think it's very difficult for me to believe that Mac Jones is the front runner or anybody else until you see these guys. That's why you have a pro day. And I think Justin Fields takes advantage of it, man. Script it just like you would want to for Shanahan. Show him everything you can do and just leave it all out there. Again, I don't see how he's fallen away from being right under Trevor Lawrence. In my opinion, that's where Justin Fields is. But I think this is a dress rehearsal for him to impress Shanahan in this environment.
What do you think, Marcus?
I mean, if you're splitting hairs, obviously the pro day has a lot of value to it, but they're not going to learn anything we don't already know. Like, that's the thing that's the perplexing part of this for me is San Francisco traded up because Mac Jones fits, but they didn't trade up because there is potentially a generational talent at quarterback. Like, it's just mind-blowing to me. And I get it. Like, everybody has their own approach to how they want to draft and where they want to be. And familiarity is basically what I'm hearing from everybody about Mac Jones and Kyle Shanahan and that marriage. Familiarity doesn't get you drafted third overall and give away first round picks. That's not why you draft the guy, because you're familiar and this is what I hear. Oh, well, he's worked with Matt Ryan and he's had a lot of success with these guys and these guys can process and he's a great thinker. You know how many damn great thinkers I saw watch us play football from the sideline when I was playing for the Cowboys? Yeah. You know how many great thinkers that played quarterback was telling the starter what to look for and things that was happening on the field? So I get it. It's a part of it. You got to be able to process. You got to be able to go through first progression, second progression, and all of that. But all of these guys that we're talking about are guys that you're drafting off of potential. And some of those guys have way higher ceilings than the other ones. Justin Fields has a higher ceiling than every other quarterback in this draft outside of Trevor Lawrence. And I'm not sure if the degree of separation between both of them is that much as people try to make it seem.
Go ahead, Diana.
Yeah, Green, not to get into like football nerd talk, but I think what this is going to tell us in terms of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's opinion is essentially what the future at the quarterback position will be, right? We have conversations, big picture conversations all the time on this show and on NFL Live and on SportsCenter discussing, is the quarterback position different now? Do we need a more running, mobile type guy? Is the classic pocket passer, the Tom Brees, the Aaron Rodgers, are those days over? If Kyle Shanahan is going with Mac Jones, that tells us that he believes that the traditional way can still work in 2021.
Marcus is injured. You're going to be on the DL with a neck injury. Go ahead, Marcus. Final word.
Now, I get Diana, and that's a legit question. But listen, if we are going to put Mac Jones in the vein of thinking he gonna do what Tom Brady did, stop. pause, stop it. The future of the position is already showed up. Aaron Rodgers was the MVP. Mahomes was in the Super Bowl outside of the GOAT. Drew Brees got beat by the GOAT in order to get there. So there go your other quarterback without the mobility. Josh Allen was in MVP conversations. Justin Herbert changed what everybody thought about him as a quarterback. We saw all of these guys. We already know about Lamar Jackson. We see this. Joe Burrow, by the way, that everybody's talking about Mac Jones, is a way better athlete than Mac Jones showed. So listen, the future of the position has already been kind of shown to everybody.
That's exactly right. And dude, and take Tom Brady out of the conversation. Don't use the ultimate outlier
yes,
as your example.
Right.
If you're going to make decisions based upon the ultimate outlier in a circumstance, as a general rule, you'd run a significant risk of getting it wrong. Meanwhile, if it's breakfast time, that means we need to serve up some pancakes. Set them down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw them out the club. Swagoo, throw them out the club. You see them? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
This is Jeff Saturday's favorite time of the week, where we give him the floor and allow him to pass out the pancakes to all those blockers. And in this case, there will be guys whose names will be called in the draft in 3 weeks who made the big blocks. Jeff, take it away.
Oh, Greeny, it's my favorite time, but it should be everybody's favorite time. Christian Darrisaw, you want to see some pop? Bang! Get some of that, little man. You talk about bigger, stronger, faster. Look at the power in that hit. Hey, by the way, folks, he's backing up when he knocks that dude down. He ain't going forward. He's a good enough athlete to backpedal and then give you some of that action. You know what I'm saying, Spears? That's
Don't
a one
get
pancake
under
for the
shoulder.
Smackdown by Christian Darrisaw. You can't beat that stuff like that. Tene Sewell, everybody's talked about this young man. I want you to watch his reach block. You want to know why play action RPO work? We just talked about why Mac Jones can play because of tackles like this. When you go to reach and you smack this man down, you want to know why everybody bites up? How you going to read pass right there? That is nasty. Two pancakes for Pene Sewell for the smackdown on the play action. And then finally, y'all, this is what I imagine Greeny as a football player receiving. Look at my man Quinn Miners. Look at this. Get some of that.
They hitting out here.
Gracious.
They hitting.
I mean, his head hit first. That's Greeny receiving that right there. That is Quinn Miners, Wisconsin Whitewater, dispensing justice, as my man Mark Flair used to say. Three pancakes. That is the prettiest block I've seen. This is how you get ready for the draft.
Quinn Miners is a fascinating prospect in this draft from the University of Wisconsin at Whitewater, who had a huge Senior Bowl and has worked his way up into the second round conversation. Matt Miller, talk to him about Quinn Miners.
Look at the athleticism.
First play Senior Bowl week that I saw about Miners, the defensive tackle jumped off sides, but he still reacted fast enough to put him on the turf. Quinn Miners is a legit prospect. He also rocks a crop top. He lets the belly out. You have to respect it. But these are disrespectful blocks. And I know it's a lower-level competition. Yes. It's D3 football. He held his own at the Senior Bowl against D1 players. So it's not just, you know, I mean, that's high school tape is what the field looks like. He will be starting in the NFL within the next 2 years.
You want to have some fun, go to YouTube and watch him working out in the woods.
Yes.
Quinn Miners is just a different breed of cat, and he is going to be an early pick in this NFL draft. As we continue, coming up, are the Packers sending out more signals that Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay is coming to an end? We've got the answer to that question and this one. It's the one move that Jerry Jones can make on draft day that would turn the Cowboys into an offensive juggernaut. So why should he not make it? That's on the way. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and Aaron Rodgers is the topic. He led the Packers to a 13-3 season this past year, but as you are well aware, at this point for the Packers, it's not about the regular season. Green Bay losing at home to the Bucs in the NFC title game, and all the talk about his future. Seems like Aaron Rodgers' future as a game show host is outstanding. He was terrific on Jeopardy last week and will be the host for this week's shows again. And what to make of his future with the Packers? He just won his third MVP. But Green Bay traded up to take Jordan Love with the 26th pick last year. You know all of the history here, but here's the present. An anonymous NFL agent said this to our Rob Domofsky, quote, "It's screwing the Packers in a lot of ways right now because there's just no cap space. They've called me about one of my players and said, hey, this is where we are now. And until we get something big done, hint, hint, we don't have any space. It's kind of like a lose-lose situation right now. That's what's surprising to me is you'd think there would be a middle ground situation to get something done." What does that mean? Diana Russini, if the Packers are not able to sign players they want because of Aaron Rodgers' contract, what should we take away from that, Diana?
Well, let's take a step back. Sometimes teams will basically tell agents anything to basically say, we're not interested in your guy. So they can use this Aaron Rodgers contract as an excuse not to sign the player. But let's put that off to the side and talk about the big issue here, which is here we are, mid-April, and we're still talking about the fact that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers have not been able to come up with an agreement on his contract to make more cap space. Now, we are hearing all the right things. Mark Murphy saying we would be idiots not to sign him. Head coach Matt LaFleur has said that of course they want want Aaron Rodgers here. And here we are, something that has been explained to me by other teams when they make these deals with their quarterbacks. It's a very easy thing to do. It shouldn't be this difficult. So Greeny, this is how I'm seeing this. Something is up with Aaron Rodgers. He does not want to do this team any favors. He's not trying to help the Green Bay Packers out. And we know why. Because of everything they've done this past season, starting back to the draft last year with Jordan Love. So at this point, this relationship just seems very, very rocky.
Yeah, I mean, rocky is one word to use. That there might even be stronger language that would seem appropriate in that circumstance. If he's not, well, Marcus Spears, I mean, let's just dive into this thing here. If Aaron Rodgers isn't willing to do them any favors, it's his team. Some of these things would be in his own best interest. What right. do we take away from that? What does it mean and what happens?
Gee, he out of there. He don't have no love for Green Bay. Look, man, Aaron Rodgers has said enough at least. I didn't get on the roller coaster of these waves of I'm going to be here in beautiful mystery. But he said enough for all of us to know that he doesn't look too well at Green Bay and what they've done. Now, I've been one on this show to say, listen, this is an NFC championship team 2 years back to back. And as much as we talk about other units on this team, we need to give Aaron Rodgers some of the credit for not getting it done, meaning he didn't deliver in some of those moments as well. But with that being said, Aaron Rodgers looking at the landscape of the NFL, and he's looking at these teams make commitments to top tier quarterbacks. He's not seeing that from his team. And now the only thing he can take away from that is, if I'm going to be like these guys, and the guys I'm talking about, Patrick Mahomes, they built weapons and brought guys in for him. We obviously saw what they did for Tom Brady in Tampa. Yeah. We saw what they did for Drew Brees bringing in Emmanuel Sanders. Teams were making moves to get their veteran quarterback Super Bowls, and Green Bay wasn't. And that's what Aaron Rodgers is looking at. And that's why this relationship would be over after this year. I was just a year early thinking it was going to end. But I did not expect him to play out of his mind either the way he did beyond him being the great quarterback that he is.
And maybe his team didn't expect it either. But so then, Jeff, let me come to you on this, because you played so many years there with Peyton Manning, and you and he are so close. And he's one of the very few people ever who are in that sort of rarefied air that Aaron Rodgers is. And there is an element of ownership of the franchise, not literally, but figuratively, that usually comes with that. Like, it's Peyton's team. Whether he's making all the decisions or not, there is an element of respect that feels that way that it just doesn't feel like exists here. And, Jeff, to me, that feels like it's the problem.
that's the insanity of all this, is that you're talking about a guy who for the next 3 or 4 years will keep your team competitive, if not playing in Super Bowls. But you got to go get guys around him and help him, and everything you're showing him is the way to the door. I mean, that's insanity from the Packers. I don't care how good Jordan Love is going to be in the next 2 years or possibly 3 years, he won't be as good as Aaron Rodgers. Like, without a catastrophic injury, Aaron Rodgers is going to be at this level for quite some time. I just don't understand why Green Bay, but they have done it to themselves, Greeny. They have put themselves in this situation. They've got to figure their way out and get him signed to an extension.
Hey. When you draft his replacement, you're telling him it's not your team anymore. Like, you're telling him that, like, you know,
right.
We're loaning you this, but we're not selling it to you. It's not your team. I got to leave it there for a minute because I got to go through the weekend.
Okay.
Marcus, super quick. Right. Go ahead.
No, just keep playing in my mind. Do you guys remember when Kaiser came in against Chicago, against the Bears, when Aaron Rodgers had the injury, and then Aaron Rodgers came back with the knee and showed us the value to Green Bay? I don't know how they don't turn that damn tape on and figure out how to make this man happy.
It is crazy.
That's exactly right.
Let me go through
right.
some of the headlines from the weekend, guys. Stay close by. We have a lot because it was a very busy weekend, and it ended with some controversy on Sunday Night Baseball last night. The Phillies and the Braves. This is the top of the ninth in a tie game. Alex Bohm is the runner at third. He comes home on a shallow fly ball to left. The home plate ump calls him safe. The question is, did he ever touch the plate? And the answer is no. They went to replay. They looked at it. Even though it pretty clearly does not touch home plate, they called him safe. Braves manager Brian Snitker, not pleased.
Snit, what did the umpire say to you?
Nothing. He didn't say anything. I did all the talking. He didn't say anything. We're not giving explanations.
Okay. And when you – what you saw, did you ever see him touch the plate?
No.
Yeah. We have 5 different angles on a national televised game, and it's clear that his foot didn't touch the plate, that it was on the chalk. Everyone saw it and sees it. You know, everyone knows it. And for MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing. You know, why even have replay if you won't overturn that?
It's craziness and a crazy finish there. Meanwhile, the finish of the Masters yesterday was beautiful for that man, Hideki Matsuyama. It was more of a coronation than a competition all day yesterday. This was the one moment of trepidation on 15 with a 4-shot lead. He airmails the green and puts it in the drink, and he would make a bogey, and Xander Schauffele would birdie, and suddenly the lead was just 2 shots. But then the very next moment, they walk to the 16th tee. It's a par 3. Schauffele tries to hit a very aggressive shot, and that is what happened. And that was the end of the Masters for all intents and purposes. He would make a triple bogey there, and all that was left for Matsuyama to do was stroll up 18 in triumphant fashion, ultimately tapping in that bogey putt for a 73 and a 1-shot win. He becomes the first Japanese male to win a major championship as he takes the green jacket, receiving that honor from Dustin Johnson. What a day for Hideki Matsuyama. And the congratulations came from everywhere, including from Tiger Woods, who tweeted, "Making Japan proud. Congratulations on such a huge accomplishment for you and your country. This historical win will impact the entire golf world." Coming up, he's one of the highest graded quarterbacks in the history of the draft. So why do at least one of our experts have concerns about Trevor Lawrence at the next level? We'll answer that question next. So we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Well, We are back on Get Up, and our draft insider Matt Miller is along for the ride this morning. Look, we've talked a lot about all these rookie quarterbacks, but no one is perfect. They all have flaws. So what is the biggest concern for each of them, starting with Zach Wilson? Matt.
Yeah, Greeny, Zach Wilson's biggest flaw, the risky throws. This is what you love and hate about him. I call him YOLO balls. He throws it, and he expects his guy to go make a play on it. That works against Coastal Carolina and some other schools. I don't know if that works against Alabama. I don't know if it works against the New England Patriots or Miami Dolphins either. So that's the area of his game. You hope it translates, but it is the biggest question right now. Moving forward, you know I love Justin Fields. Every quarterback, like you said, has something they have to improve. When I watch Justin Fields, it's the mechanics. The ball has a tendency to get on top of his hand. What that means, the ball gets under, his hand gets bent, the nose of the football is pointing down too much. Now, that's fixable. We can clean that up, but it is something that affects accuracy, where everything else has to be perfect if your arm mechanics aren't great. So if I'm his quarterback's coach, this is what we work on right away. And believe it or not, even the great Trevor Lawrence even has a flaw or two in his game. Five interceptions in his last six games. Turnovers are the flaw here, and we saw it in the college football playoff against Ohio State. You saw in the clip there, he was trying to make too much happen, holding onto the ball in the pocket. We saw some fumbles. So Trevor Lawrence, sometimes underneath coverage gives him a little bit of a problem. He's got to see it a little bit better and cut down on some of these turnovers that we did see in college football.
Correct. He has strengths and weaknesses because he's a human being, and all human beings have strengths and weaknesses. And so, Marcus Beards, when you hear people say, well, Trevor Lawrence can't miss, he's too good to fail, he is a can't-miss prospect, what do you say?
Yeah, I've heard that before, and people have missed. Listen, you, all of these guys that you're drafting, obviously we know the percentages of guys panning out. Trevor Lawrence has the highest ceiling, right? And he's done a tremendous amount of great work in college. Obviously, the story began to build his freshman year beating Alabama in the national championship. But when you look at what Trevor Lawrence has done at Clemson, when you look at the measurables, when you look at the things that we've talked about being the future of the position, he fits all of that. He fits that mold. So I can see and understand, based on watching him play and also throughout this draft process, of why people are excited, why people have him head and shoulders above everybody else. I don't personally, but I see why people would have that thought process. But this league is tough and it's demanding, and you got to go earn it. And I'm sure every rookie understands that if they don't, you'll find your way out of this league fast. I expect Trevor Lawrence to have a lot of success. It's going to be pressed upon the Jacksonville Jaguars to make sure he's protected and make sure you're not asking him to be more than a rookie in his rookie season.
Well, so we've talked so much this morning about fit and whether Mac Jones fits in San Francisco. So, Jeff, for this player, for Trevor Lawrence, this generational talent, how important is fit?
Enormous. Listen, it is the greatest determining factor for his career. Think about Peyton Manning in Indianapolis. If you don't think Bill Polian had a huge impact on Peyton Manning's career, you're fooling yourself. If you don't think Bill Belichick had a huge impact on Tom Brady, you're fooling yourself, right? So the development of the quarterback in the system he's playing in is the most important factor going in. They all have talent. Justin Fields has talent. Zach Wilson has talent. They all have flaws, but you have to be developed. And the last thing that can happen is you get a guy battered, which means you don't protect him, and then expect him to do exactly what Swagoo said, too much too early. Peyton Manning, I think he led the NFL or had a record for many years of 26 or something interceptions as a rookie. That can break a lot of players at this moment with all the social media stuff. You have to be patient, allow Trevor Lawrence to develop as a QB, and then I think he'll have a really good career in the NFL.
Yeah, look, there are a lot of uncertainties here, including in their coach. Urban Meyer is one of the greatest college coaches
that
ever lived. There are metrics that suggest he's a top five college coach all time, but he's never been the head coach of an NFL team, and it's been stunningly quiet coming out of Jacksonville, frankly. Diana, what are you hearing about Urban in particular and the Jaguars as we work our way towards their eventual selection of the number one pick in the draft?
Yeah, I think we can all pretty much say that this is a lock, that they're going with Trevor Lawrence. And even going back to when Urban was hired and talking to some sources there, just about the overall belief that Trevor is the guy. Are there any perhaps flaws or blemishes that they're concerned about? And people there just really point to the maturity, his ability to handle the national spotlight, all these things that work in favor of a guy that really needs to turn this franchise around. And I'm sure Hembo can put up all the awful stats, but we won't do that to Jacksonville fans. But we know they have struggled for years. They have had a losing record.
Yeah.
It seems like almost a decade. It's time for Jacksonville to start turning this around. And they believe Trevor Lawrence is the answer.
They have the new coach. They have the new quarterback. They have the money to spend. Let's see how they wind up getting this thing done. Meanwhile, if you were watching earlier this program, Diana Russini with the breaking news, and it's a developing story that one of the top remaining free agents is close to finding a home. It could happen soon, and it's Jadeveon Clowney, who was the number one pick in the 2014 draft, could soon be teaming up with another former number one overall pick on the defense in Cleveland. That would be Myles Garrett. Again, Diana, you had this earlier today. You actually sort of were doing it live or directly off your phone. What can you tell us?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was busy on my phone this morning. But the good news for the Cleveland Browns fans is it looks like the conversations are going really well. We know that Cleveland had interest in Jadeveon Clowney last year. Remember the Clowney sweepstakes? It took forever. It wasn't until August that he finally decided to sign with the Tennessee Titans. And he was really looking for a big payday back then. He took a one-year deal with Tennessee, so now here he is back out on the market after dealing with the knee injury. And that is something that's kind of sticking with him as he's talking to different teams right now. So in terms of money, what we're talking about with Jadeveon Clowney, if you remember last year, he was looking for about $18 million. He settled at around $16 with Tennessee. We're looking more around the $10-$11 area for money for Jadeveon Clowney at this point. So it's come down significantly, but it seems like these two may be coming together. And when you think about Clowney on this defense, as you listed some of the defenders there, I mean, what a punch this can be. And the risk may be worth the reward in this situation, knowing he's dealing with an injury.
So Marcus, let's play this thing out. Let me give you a different question. Earlier today, I asked Jeff Saturday to give us a dark horse team in the AFC that you could see making a run to the Super Bowl. And predictably, he said the Colts, because he's got a horseshoe, like, tattooed over his heart. Well, I was going to ask him then, and I'll certainly ask it now in this context. Marcus, why not the Browns? They made the run last year. They get Odell Beckham back healthy. Maybe now they add Jadeveon Clowney. They've got that year of experience in the system under their coach. What is the ceiling for the Cleveland Browns heading into the 2021 season?
A deep playoff run in a dark horse Super Bowl. Listen, I'm guys, y'all know how I've been with Baker Mayfield. The issue is, if he doesn't take a step back, Cleveland is going to be better than they were last year.
Yeah.
And Stefanski did a phenomenal job. Now there's film now on the Cleveland Browns and how they like to play football. So teams adjust to that. That's the way the NFL goes. But if Baker Mayfield can continue to trend and they sign Jadeveon Clowney, which I want to gush over, because sometimes people get it twisted because Jadeveon doesn't have these crazy wild sack numbers. And look, rightfully so. That comes with being the number one overall pick, the speed, the ability, all of these things you look at. But you put him across from Myles Garrett,
woo,
and you have this defensive line and a healthy back end. Like, Cleveland was ravaged with injury as well from a defensive standpoint with young guys, Grant Dell Pitt and those guys on the back end. Ward was not there all season long. This can be a great team. Not a good team. This can be a great team. It's about their quarterback continuing to progress. And defensively, if they stay healthy and they sign Jadeveon Clowney, between him and this could be the dark horse Super Bowl team. It's so crazy that I'm saying that about the Cleveland Browns, but it's legit based on how we saw them play, last year.
Finish it up, Jeff. Ooh. Go ahead.
Hey, Green, let me just say this, and I heard you say go opposite side of Myles Garrett. How about you put them on the same side? The length and the explosiveness on that side of the football puts offenses in all kinds of predicaments. And listen, you talk about Jadeveon Clowney. That cat inside – is as dangerous as he is outside. And like I said, the style of rusher that he is, the impact he can make for that Browns defense, it becomes a nightmare for offensive linemen to be able to adjust to that just because of those two guys on one side. And again, their defensive line produced even last year being banged up. But when you talk about what this addition would mean for their defense, you can't put a number. And listen, these are the positions, folks, that change games. Defensive ends change games. That's the type of player you need to make an impact. That is a huge signing if they get this done.
3 years removed from being 0-16, the Cleveland Browns are a sneaky, interesting Super Bowl pick.
Wow.
We'll take a short break on that thought. Much more still to come as we get up with you. It's the one move Jerry Jones could make on draft day that would make the Cowboys unstoppable. So why must he not make it under any circumstances? We'll answer that question next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Here's our Tuesday night baseball doubleheader on ESPN. The Phillies and Mets play game 2 of their 4-game series. That's at 7 Eastern time. Then we head out west for the Reds and the Giants in the second game of their 3-game set. That's tomorrow night, the doubleheader on ESPN, and you can watch live on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, let's play either or with our crew today. Swagoo, I'll start with you. Who do you have more confidence in becoming a good pro, Mac Jones or Trey Lance? Who you got?
Trey Lance, G, and it's because people talked about this pro-style system that he ran at North Dakota. You look at, obviously, the physical attributes, and I just talked about the way that this league is trending. Trey Lance being able to lean on athleticism until he fully understands how to play this position in the NFL. I just look at his ceiling. I believe it's higher.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would look at it that way. Let's see where they wind up. Meanwhile, Jeff, who has a better season in front of them, Sam Darnold or Zach Wilson?
I'm going Sam Darnold. Look, I think this is a great fit in Carolina. Matt Rhule, Joe Brady, remember the offensive coordinator from a couple years ago at LSU. Like he has all arrows pointing up heading to Carolina. I think he has a spectacular year. I think big growth for him in development. So I'm looking for him to have a big year. Zach Wilson coming in, new staff, new everything. It's going to be a little tough for him to make that big of an impact.
Okay, none taken. Matt, then we go to you. Who's more of a sure thing, Trevor Lawrence or Kyle Pitts?
What'd you say earlier? The answer to every question is what? Kyle Pitts. Come on, I love Trevor Lawrence. I do. But quarterbacks drafted early, what is the hit rate on those? It has not been great. And I love Trevor Lawrence. He's the top prospect in this draft. But if you ask me, and I've talked to a lot of people around the NFL, if you had to bet on one guy in this draft being an All-Pro, who would it be? The answer is almost exclusively Kyle Pitts because he's 6'6", 245 pounds. He runs a 4.4 and 12 touchdowns this past year. Quarterbacks miss and they get moved on from. Players like this are going to have a longer career, a bigger opportunity to succeed.
It's fair because it's also a little less dependent, right? I mean, if he's as good as everyone says he is, he probably will be that regardless of where he goes. And a quarterback, regardless of how good he is somewhat dependent on the circumstances. But it does bring back, for those just joining us, a controversial and fascinating opinion. Matt, with as good as you believe Kyle Pitts to be, what do you think Jerry Jones and the Cowboys need to do in this draft?
I'm going to need my guys to cover their ears when I say this. I think Jerry Jones should trade up. Listen, look at Will McClay in there. He's one of the best scouts in the NFL. Will knows how good Kyle Pitts is, and I know everybody says the defense is terrible. It is. But you hired Dan Quinn, presumably, to fix that, right, to shine it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You also have 10 selections in this draft. I believe that Dallas has a legitimate Super Bowl window with Dak Prescott coming back healthy. Why not go all in on creating a great offense? Create a great offense like the Kansas City, where you can go outscore people, where your defense doesn't have to be perfect. Kyle Pitts would give them this. And then with all those other picks, and you might have to give up one or two to move up, you can still add some defenders. There's great depth at corner this year, safety, offensive tackle. There is nothing like Kyle Pitts in this draft, rounds 1 through 7.
Marcus, what do you think?
I can't stand Matt because he makes a great argument for Kyle Pitts. Like, I understand. I understand the logic. But I also think it's more pressing things, man. Like, if they go offensively, they need to go O-line. This O-line was ravaged, and we saw what happened to them last year. Tyron Smith is up in age and has dealt with injuries. Lyle Collins obviously coming back off an injury, and you got Zach Morton. I think you continue to solidify that you're protecting that $160 million investment if you go offense. Defense, we all know. You either take in my opinion, you take a corner or you take an interior guy. And I don't know what interior guy will warrant a 10th pick. Maybe Dallas trades back, actually, to get another pick, possibly in the first round, in order to start building that defense. I understand Quinn is bringing a 4-3. I expect this defense to be better from that alone. Kyle Pitts won't be there at 10. And if Jerry Jones trades up to get Kyle Pitts, I'm just going to turn the damn TV off.
The defensive tackles in this draft most likely are Christian Barmore and Levi Onwuzurike, who figure to go much later the first round. Go ahead, Jeff Saturday. What do you think? If they trade up from 10 to 4 to take Kyle Pitts, no. What will you say?
No chance. Absolutely no chance. I'm 100%. Look, I get generational talent. I get all the comments we put on people. Go for Slater at 10. He's going to fall to you. It's a perfect fit. Three of your five best offensive linemen were banged up last year. Guess what? They're getting older. Bodies are getting beat on. You need to have a guy like Slater who can come in, play tackle or guard until one of your tackles moves on or decides to retire. I think that's the best fit. As good as Pitts is, that offense was already producing numbers. I mean, he was on track. Prescott was on track for 6,000 yards or something crazy before he got injured. You have to protect him. That is the premium. You look at all QBR ratings, they all go down significantly with pressure. Protect him, allow him to do him. I understand the shiny new toys, folks. Offense and defensive line wins championships. You just saw it in February. Don't forget it come April and May.
Can I also just briefly say the Dallas Cowboys are the only team that could be 6-10 and not have been in a conference championship game in 25 years, and we'd say they're in their Super Bowl window. We just talk about the Dallas Cowboys differently than we do anybody else. All right, let's take a timeout. Coming up, we will tell you why the 49ers may no longer see that guy as the answer at number 3. What's going on? We'll tell you next. Get up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, looking forward to this. The U.S. women's national team plays a friendly against France, the second match of a 2-game European tour. They tied Sweden 1-1 on Saturday, extending their unbeaten streak to 38 matches. Our coverage begins tomorrow afternoon, 3 Eastern, on ESPN2, and you can watch live on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, we are 4 minutes away from the start of First Take here on ESPN. Was Miles Bridges' dunk the dunk of the year? Plus, should there be high expectations for Trevor Lawrence in year one? It's First Take. Stephen A., Max, and Molly coming up top of the hour here on ESPN. Meanwhile, we will spend this time talking about the 49ers. You know what they gave up. They traded 3 ones to get up 9 spots in the draft to number 3 overall. Now, Mac Jones continues to be the leader in the clubhouse, but we're still 2.5 weeks away from draft day. And so will it be Mac Jones? Will it be Justin Fields, who was scheduled another pro day? Will it be Trey Lance, who was scheduled another pro day? Here's how I want to finish the show today. Jeff Saturday, who should San Francisco take at 3? I'm making you the decider. Who do they take?
Justin Fields. Listen, the last 2 years, Greeny, he's thrown more touchdowns and fewer interceptions than the number one pick, Trevor Lawrence, who we all compared him to. He played in the national championship game with busted up ribs. He's shown you leadership. He's shown you perseverance, toughness, all the things you're asking to lead a locker room. He's shown you on and off the field. At three, take Justin Fields. You know what you have. It's a known commodity. Go make it happen.
Okay, fair enough. So now I've just taken the job from you and I've given it to Marcus Spears. Marcus, now you're the general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Who are you taking at three?
In the church I grew up with, Jeff Saturday just preached, and the pastor would always say, let the church say amen. I second all of the things that he just said. Listen, this dude is, first of all, you can make an argument for Justin Fields to be the first guy. You can have that discussion legitimately. The second part of this is he ran a 4-4. He has a strong arm. He has the ability to process. He played at a program where Ryan Day asked him to make decisions at the line of scrimmage. Justin Fields has literally done everything to be drafted the second quarterback in this draft, but he's done enough to at least not be in the conversation with Mac Jones.
Matt Miller, my draft insider, same question to you. What do you believe they should do here?
I think it has to be Justin Fields. If they call and ask my opinion of someone who's evaluated every throw these quarterbacks have made in college over the past 3 and 4 years, the answer would be Justin Fields. As the guys have said, I mean, it's clear at this point. And as I've said to you before, Greeny, if you just look at traits, 6'3", 230, 4'4", speed, the strongest arm in this class, a great leader, super intelligent, I think Justin Fields is the easy answer. Just doesn't sound like it's going to be the one that they make.
Well, that's the point, and that's saving the best for last here. Diana, I come to you. We've now heard what everyone says they think they should do, but you have a much better sense than anyone of what they're going to do. What is it?
Yeah. Well, since everyone on the show, with the exception of Matt, sounds like they have a very beautiful southern drawl, I'll say what they say in the South, which is, bless your little hearts. Because while I don't make very good arguments for Justin Fields, it makes a lot more sense for Mac Jones to fit in a formula that Kyle Shanahan believes in and that has proved to work.
Oh, my God.
Which, everything that you see Mac Jones do on the field, the way he sees this offense, the way he can run this offense, and just think, Kyle Shanahan's playbook now, the way it is, and how creative and dynamic it can be, and what it could look like with a quarterback with the intelligence and the IQ that they say Mac Jones has. So at this point, it seems that Mac Jones would be the perfect fit for the San Francisco 49ers, Greeny.
Diana, again, the Jersey girl. Give me that again. Bless their little what?
Bless your hearts. That's the only southern thing I can do. Everything else just sounds
Marcus,
terrible.
How'd that sound?
In Jersey, I just say, you're wrong.
Well,
that's
done.
An
Thanks
insult.
Everybody
that's
for
actually
up with
an
us.
Insult.
We are out of time. First Take starts right now.